Today, friends, we want to consider the Creator of the heavens and the earth and the spirit of man. In Genesis 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the prophet Zechariah, we read in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." Here we understand the role of the prophet. It was to bring forth the burden of the word of the Lord, to give a "thus saith the Lord." True prophets spoke with a "thus saith the Lord," that is, the word from God. This expression is found 414 times in the Old Testament and no less than 18 times in the book of Zechariah the prophet. We notice here regarding God as the Creator, God is presented in the fullness of His power in the realms of heaven, of the earth, and of humanity. So significant are the pronouncements about to be made, according to Wycliffe Bible Commentary. Indeed, great pronouncements were made in the book of Zechariah. For example, among many other things, the priesthood and kingship of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. The kingship and the name of Christ, chapter 14, verse 9. The crucifixion of Christ and the fact that He would be pierced, chapter 12 and verse 10. The fountain opened for sin and uncleanness because of the work of the Messiah, chapter 13, verse 1. And the name of Christ, chapter 14 and verse 9. We note that Jesus Christ is the Creator, as we read in the book of John, the first chapter. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here, as in Hebrews 1, 8-12, and Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, the Word who became flesh, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, is declared to be the Creator. In Revelation 3 and verse 14, He is called the beginning of the creation of God. The term "beginning" here is from the Greek word arche, and in this context, it does not mean the beginning as to order, which the Watchtower Society, that is the Jehovah's Witnesses, falsely teach, that Jesus was the first created being. Yet in this context, the word arche refers to Christ, meaning that He is the active cause of the creation of God. So the word arche here in Revelation 3:14, the beginning of the creation of God, means that Jesus Christ is the active cause of God's creation and hence the Creator. And being the Creator, He cannot be created. Indeed, to refer to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, which He is, Matthew 16:16, is to declare that He is a divine person, a member of the Godhead, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We know that it is said of Him that was to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2, that He is from everlasting. This is one of the divine attributes of God, eternality, without beginning and without end. Psalm 90, verse 2, "From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." Zechariah and all the true prophets were God's spokesmen. They spoke forth the word of the Lord as the Spirit guided them. As the Apostle Peter declared, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But yet false prophets then, as false teachers do today, speak forth the words of men. Jesus said, "But in vain do they worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men," Matthew 15 and 9. And Paul said that the commandments of men turn from the truth, Titus 1, 14. And he also warned that any who would bring any other gospel than the gospel of Christ would be a curse, whether it would be angel or man, or any person, according to Galatians 1, 6-9. Just as there were false prophets, people among the people back in the days of Israel, there are false teachers in the church today. Peter declared that it would be so. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. But now let's look further with the more specific thoughts here regarding God creating the spirit or soul of man within him. Regarding this and all of God's creation, the word created in Genesis chapter 1 is from the Hebrew word bara. It is, according to Wilson's Old Testament word studies, the production or effectuation of something new, rare, and wonderful, the beginning of something to pass in a striking and marvelous manner. Indeed, it is to make something new, to create something out of nothing, and that's what God did when he spoke the creation into existence. God said, for example, let there be light, and there was light, Genesis 1, verse 3. The psalmist declares of the spoken word of God bringing forth the creation in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9, for he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. That is the power of God's word. But now, let's consider the spirit that God has formed within man. Again, we read Zechariah 12, verse 9, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. God infuses man's spirit within him. As in Hebrews 12, 9, he is referred to as the Father of spirits. The God is the giver of our spirits or our souls. The body will go back to the dust, but the spirit unto God. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, and the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. Every person has an eternal spirit, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 23. This is one of the distinguishing characteristics of the creation of mankind, male and female, that they were given a soul, a spirit, as they were created in the image of God, Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. So precious is the soul of man to God that Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. In the day of the Lord, that last day, the material universe will perish and be destroyed, according to 2 Peter 3, 10-12. And it will be God who does that. But the soul of man will go on throughout eternity. Even after his body is gone back to the dust, the spirit of man will endure. In Matthew 10, 28, hence Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Indeed, friends, the creation of the heavens and the earth is a glorious thing that God has done. But yet there is something greater that God has made, and that is the soul of man. He has created man in his very image and given man an eternal soul. He has also brought forth and instituted the gospel of Christ, something greater than the physical creation, the gospel of Christ to save the soul of man and to bring him to the Lord. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Something else greater that God has made than the heavens and the earth is the church of our Lord. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25, we read of the Lord's church, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The church of the Lord is made up of Christians, those who are new creatures in Christ Jesus, those who have come to the Lord and obeyed the gospel. They have heard and believed the word of God, the gospel, Romans 10, 17, Romans 1, 16. Like the Corinthians in Acts 18, 8, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. They have heard and believed the gospel, and thus they have repented upon their faith in him, as we are commanded to do in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you, for the remission of sins. They have made the good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. And they have gone into the waters of baptism as the Ethiopian did who made this great confession in Acts 8:38 and 39. They have been baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, to have their sins washed away by the blood of Christ, Acts 22:16 and Revelation 1 and 5. They have put on Christ in baptism as those who have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6 and verse 3. And hence they are a new creation in God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, Paul said of himself and the other Christians, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He also wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Indeed, that which God has made, the church, and allowing man to become a new creature in Christ, is the greatest creation of all. We read of his building the church in Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My friends, today as we close, let us consider the words of Jesus. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verses 36 and 37. God has given us a soul and a body. It is up to us as to what we will do with our bodies, whether serve him or serve sin, and what we will do with the precious eternal soul within us. Let us do as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:20 to the church at Corinth. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We thank you, friends, for listening today, and we pray the Lord bless you. Thank you.